Naked men.
It's raining men.
Hallelujah.
I always whip out the old 80s. Anyway, I'm Carl. I'm an alcoholic addict, all the above. And my sobriety date is August 22nd, 2014.
I'm Chelsea. I'm an alcoholic. And my sobriety date is February 19th, 2015.
Hallelujah.
This is Sober Pod. Sober Pod is a podcast about recovery that doesn't sound like a podcast about recovery. We are not professionals and do not speak for any recovery groups or organizations. And as always, we encourage you to listen in moderation.
Hello, ex-party people. What are you guys doing out there? What are you doing? Hey, get your hands off your hoo-ha, okay? We don't do that.
I know there's naked men. We're talking about naked men, but yeah.
Everybody saw the topic and they instantly just dropped their pants. Like, let's do this. So we are talking about naked men today.
We are. That was not just clickbait. It was kind of clickbait, but you know,
intentional. But unintentional. So what are we doing? We're reading from 366 fucking days sober. I'm going to emphasize the fucking there because Chelsea didn't let me say effing last week and get away with it. So what this is it's a daily meditation book that we are currently writing. It is not available just yet, so it will be soon. And you'll know it's available because we'll say it's fucking available, but we're not saying that it's available right now. So, but I am, if you want, you know what the update, where I'm at in writing it?
Yes, please tell.
I am at, I believe, July 27th. So some progress since we last talked. Where was I before? July something? July 4th or something?
I honestly don't remember.
I don't remember either. So I have written some, right? Which has been hard because, by the way, I did start a new job. So thank you. I know. Thank you all for congratulating me.
Yay.
Thank you. Thank you. I can hear Carl. Oh, thanks. So we'll see how long this lasts. Hopefully it lasts more than a year this time. So keep me in your thoughts and prayers. Keep my job in your thoughts and prayers. Cause it's all about me. Okay. And then, so what we're doing is, we read from whatever day that we do the podcast. So today it's February 5th. And this one is about, a naked man. And we will read from that reading, and then we will discuss it. So I think that's it. Oh, but please, by all means, go back to 2019 and listen to, we did the 12 steps. We covered the 12 steps, and that was all year long. So you can listen to at the very least, 4 episodes per step, and, you know, go along as we all discussed the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And then Chelsea and I, this last year, you can go back to, I don't know when it was, March of 2022, somewhere around there. And we started doing the book Living Sober, pretty much the same format. We listened to a chapter on Living Sober, and then we discussed that chapter. So that's going through the whole book, which is pretty awesome because there's a lot of topics in there. It was really, you know, intense to a certain degree for newcomers. I think that was neat. That was a really neat idea. What else, Chelsea? What else have we got going on?
Well, we have our Facebook group, our private group, Sober Pod Live. You can find us by going to facebook.com/group/soberpod. We've got Bang and Bod Phil there who does an exercise class, just a short one every Saturday.
Talking about
morning.
Naked men.
Yes. Just kidding. Phil's not naked, but.
I mean, but if he did go naked, we might he might get more people involved. That would be kind of cool, right?
And then also one of our members, V, she hosts a Zoom meeting every Saturday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern. And that is the official meeting for Sober Pod. And if you want information on how to join, just go to soberpod.com and scroll down. You'll see a life ring, life preserver ring. I don't know what to call that thing.
It's a life preserver.
Okay. It says SOS, and it'll have the meeting information there.
And we then, like it to mean sober pot on Saturdays.
Yes.
Or sober on Saturdays.
Sober on Saturdays. Yeah. I still can't remember what it really stands for, but
no, V told us at one point, but
yeah. And then we are a part of the Fire Network, and I never remember what to say about it, so that's all you, Carl.
Well, you know, it seems like that there's not a lot of people listening, you know, to the Fire Network, because, you know, we have a few people interested, but again, if you are a content creator in recovery, we want you to be a part of our network as well. I mean, maybe even vice versa, who knows? So we want to, you know, have interactions with you, whether it be on our website, podcasts, or otherwise, you know, or members only section, whatever it is, we want to help you do what you do, because the voodoo that you do so well is so awesome. So we really want to support you in doing what you do. And we hopefully vice versa. I think that's the idea. That's part of a network, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's kind of part
sharing is caring.
Yeah. So if you want information on that, go to friendsinrecoverycommunity.com or .org. Sorry, friendsinrecoverycommunity.org, and you down at the bottom of the page there is a friends Fire Network link, and you can go see what this Fire Network is about there. Anything else? Are we ready? Are we? Oh, there is a Spotify, and I did look, by the way. So thank you for the reminder on the chat, Chelsea. I looked through the last three episodes, and we do not have any people commenting.
Boo.
I mean, what in the hey, Shana, you know?
Maybe I need to start commenting on things, although I don't necessarily want people to know my full name. So I'm going to have to adjust that. But
create something. Either way. So we've had no interaction. So if you go to Spotify, if you listen on Spotify, you can, under each episode, we have the questions, and in this week it will be the question, have I followed the advice of someone that did work out? But last week we had, it was about family, January 29th. It was, when was the last time you asked someone in your family how their day went? Right. And nobody answered that, I guess.
Like, I don't want to admit that. It's been a couple of years.
And if it's been a couple of years, then it's been a couple of years. Just put it down there. I think it's interesting that, you know, how varied, you know, some of our stuff is, you know. So either way. So we haven't had anybody leave a message in a long time. Nobody's commented in a long time. You would think that we were doing terrible in terms of interacting with our people. But you know, we definitely interact when people reach out, you know?
Yeah.
So, okay. So fuck them. Fuck you guys. Go eat a dick.
Eat a motherfucking dick.
Eat a bag of dicks. Eat a truckload of dicks. Just dick.
Bag of dicks is like my favorite. Like saying like go eat or go suck a bag of dicks is like one of my favorite punchlines of all time.
Why is that? Because it's just so
the
unexpected.
Visual is so funny. Like imagine someone just getting a bag of dicks and then being like, well,
gotta start sucking somewhere. Okay. All right. So you
and on that note.
All right. we have fallen down the rabbit hole. Okay, here it is. This is, do you want to read it? Or do you want me to read it? Flip for
I
it.
I did it last week. So you
okay, that's how we'll do this then. Okay. Are you ready then?
I'm ready.
Are you pumped?
I'm pumped.
Let the healing begin. Okay, here it is. This is for from the 366 fucking days sober, February 5th. Here it is. Don't take fashion advice from a naked man. There will always be people ready to advise you on how to run your life. Your friends, your boss, your spouse, and even your children. When you go to meetings, people will love to volunteer their advice, and they totally do. you will have to be discerning. Be picky about who you take advice from. Do they have their shit together? Have they taken their own advice? Most of the time, they haven't. People know the problem. they rarely know the solution, especially to your specific issue. That's why it is your responsibility to evaluate and weigh the pros and cons of every situation. So reflections for that is, have I followed the advice of someone that did work out? And that'll be in the question on this episode. And then daily challenge. If you can hear someone's problems today, try to listen and empathize with them. That's it. Don't give advice unless you are asked. Good advice, mm-hmm. huh?
It is. <I'm kidding.
laughs> I just throwing it out.
You see what I did there?
Good advice. Oh, man.
You're okay, like, so I'll just put it in a book so it's not specific.
Yeah, you're reading it, man. It's up to you. And I mean, and that's, I guess, probably a little bit of why I did that, right? Like why I wrote this, because it really is about, you know, it's about being discerning. Like some things don't apply to me, right?
Right.
You know, but my sponsor would always say stuff like, you know, don't take fashion advice from naked men. And he would say that in context, especially if we were, you know, talking about somebody who did give me advice, because I've gotten some real shitty advice over the years. You know, when I was having problems with my wife, this is where it comes from. I would literally, you know, I had somebody give me advice of basically just get a divorce, right? I literally met this dude maybe two or three times. He'd heard me speak in meetings maybe two or three times. And then of course, you know, after a meeting, he's saying, yeah, you know, I had a lot of the same problems. Just get a divorce, right? And I'm like, you know, part of that shit is just like, what? Like, first of all, you don't fucking know me. But again, like, what if I valued that person's opinion? You know, what if for whatever reason, you know, I thought that person had, you know, I don't know, maybe I was naive, I don't know. Or maybe it's just that day or whatever. Like, that the way that can send somebody, and especially without knowing somebody's circumstances, to be able to say that to somebody and not know their circumstances. Again, I have four kids. Anybody? You know?
Yeah.
I got, you know, it's like, you're telling me that just because I'm having an issue with my wife that I should just, you know, and regardless of what it is, right? I've been with her for 20 years, and now you're going to tell me, just get a divorce. Like, you're going to tell me to destroy, like, hearts and minds and, you know, future. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to rattle some people's existence and realities, mm-hmm. you know, when you do that. You know, you're affecting way more than just yourself. So it's such a selfish thing to say, right?
Well, so, and maybe he was just like, that's his way of saying, shut the fuck up, Carl. Like, just get a divorce.
No, because he had told me about his divorce, you know, and that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
again. And it's like, again, so don't take fashion advice from a naked man because, you know, it's not like he did the right thing, right? He's telling me to get a divorce because he wants to, you know, think that he did the right thing, right? Mm, yep. You know what I mean? It's that kind of a thing. So, you know, I tell my sponsor about some of this stuff and my sponsor's like, yeah, dude, he's like, you know, you got to consider the source, you know, you really got to, you know, don't take fashion advice from naked men. Really look, you know, before you take that advice, get to know the source and where it's coming from. Be discerning, figure out what these people are really about. And then let me give you another example, which is kind of the complete opposite. I would have problems, and I've talked about this on the podcast before. I would have problems with my wife, especially in that first year because I made it all about my wife and not who it should have been about, myself, right? So I go to meetings and I complain about my wife, and then, you know, one day this dude that I did not respect, I did not think had any intelligence or, I don't know, sanity, you know, I was just desperate for somebody to talk to, and he gave me advice. He's like, yeah, just, you know what you should do? Just go buy her some flowers and just go home and just get her some flowers.
That always fixes it, doesn't it?
Well, flowers. In this case, it did, actually.
Okay.
But it was, let me just say it was this much, because it was after a fight and it was me basically saying sorry, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because when you buy flowers, it's not like you can buy flowers and continue to argue.
That's true.
So he's like, just go buy flowers, say sorry, and just whatever, right? And just you know, just go about your day. And it was just like, and I just, when he said it, I was like, that's not going to fucking fix shit, right? And I'm like, whatever, dude. And that was the thing. So on the way home, I'm driving by the liquor store. That was subliminal. I was driving by the grocery store. Well, that was the liquor store for me. I was driving by the grocery store. And I was like, ah, fuck it. I'm going to go in and buy her flowers. Like that, you know, I'm just going to do that because I got nothing, you know. Yeah. And basically, you know, it worked. And that was the thing is I didn't respect this dude's opinion. Didn't even really respect where he was coming from to begin with. But as I was driving past the grocery store, I stopped and got flowers. And it may not have fixed the situation, but it alleviated, I think, the tension that was involved in that situation. You know what I mean? It like showed like, you know, somebody has to give in first, right? You know?
Right.
So two times where I've like, you know, one where it's like, actually, the dude from the divorce, I did look up to him a little bit. He had more time. You know, he had more going on. You know, that kind of a thing. But, you know, I had to, like, run it by my sponsor to say, you know, what do you think of that, right? You know, and my sponsor, again, don't take fashion advice from naked men. And I guess this is just kind of like one of those, you know, it's a caveat. It's something to say, like, look, you know, if you're going to meetings, if you're new to recovery, you're going to run into this thing of, you know, taking fashion advice from naked men. There's tons of, you know, gurus out there. There's people more than willing to give you advice. Again, family, friends, and da-da-da-da. But, you know, it's, you know, God gave you brains to think with, right? You know, put you in the situation so that you can do your best to discern what is right for you. And, you know, and if you're taking somebody else's advice blindly without much consideration on your own part, then you're really not, you're not playing your part in your own recovery, I think is the idea. So, so Chelsea, have you ever, how many people give you advice when, in the early days, how many people like stepped up and just started offering advice?
It's really hard to remember because that feels like a really long time ago and it was all kind of a blur. And also I was not completely open with the fact that I was sober with a lot of people. But I will say when I went to meetings and when I started getting a little more comfortable to where I actually stayed after the meeting, you know, just to like bullshit, I guess, and smoke cigarettes and whatnot. People absolutely want to give you advice, whether it's just like, oh, keep coming back, or it works if you work it, or, you know, just, you know, one that I wrote down was like, no matter what, just don't pick up a drink, like just don't drink, you know, and that's one piece of advice that it's like, well, duh, like no shit. Literally, I'm in a meeting for an hour.
Thanks.
Groundbreaking.
Yeah.
But you know, like that's a piece of advice that's solid, valuable. You know, there's one person I'm thinking of, and he was like a big book thumper, and he wasn't super old. He's older than me, but and we worked together.
Was he around 51 per se? You know, 51 years old?
No, I'm just kidding. Say he's not, no. He's, at the time, he was probably in his like late 30s, early 40s. So.
Oh my God, he's so old.
Well, older than me. Like, shit, I was in my 20s. So there was this piece of advice that he said, and he would say it to clients, like when we were working at this rehab, and he would say, like, before you get into a relationship, get a plant. And then if the plant's still alive after 1 year, then get a dog. And if you've kept the dog alive for another year, then you're ready to start dating. Mm-hmm. And I get it. I think I've brought this up before, but that's not necessarily applicable to me. I was in a relationship living with my boyfriend, and I already have a dog and I already have plants. Like, I understand
And the boyfriend is still alive.
Yes. But I mean, it's I understand the purpose of it, like with people who maybe are single and not in that situation, but that's not applicable to me. Mm-hmm. So am I going to just turn my whole life upside down because this is what this person says I need to do in order to stay sober? I don't think that's realistic. Yeah. And so that was one thing I said, okay, well, I understand the concept, but that's not what will work in my situation. And so it is what you said. You have to really be careful with who you allow to influence you, because if you think about it, one person's advice, like say you're at a meeting and someone gives you advice, there is going to likely be another person in that meeting with the exact opposite advice mm-hmm. to give you. Mm-hmm. If you're really, I think, struggling with something and don't know, I think it's wise to run it by your sponsor. But at the same time, your sponsor is a human with opinions, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. you really just have to be aware that these aren't gods. These aren't like, you know, your answer to everything. There's a reason you have free will and a brain to, like you said, discern between, I don't know about this. And yeah, that might be really good. So.
Yeah, I think you, 2 points there are really, really cool. It's like, one is like, you know, advice thrown out in a blanket statements don't necessarily always fit. So make sure that you're checking your head on that stuff. And then the other thing you just said, which is like the sponsor stuff, right? You know, mm-hmm. God bless my sponsor. I know that he, you know, he's passed and everything, but I think he would say, you know, this one, it's like, he didn't know everything, right? You know, he yeah. definitely said some things that were like, I mean, I literally like get off the phone with him and I'd be like, fuck that.
You know? Like, what the fuck?
And we have this thing, you know, we tend to put these people on pedestals to a certain degree mm-hmm. because they, again, they have like, you know, longer, you know, sobriety than we do. They've been, you know, doing this longer. They have more experience, et cetera. And we tend to take what they say, especially because, you know, if you're working, you know, in that relationship building and, you know, you're confessing all these other things about yourself. That person knows you probably more than anybody else in the world. And then, you know, so that's the thing is you still have to, no matter what, really look at from where they're coming from too, right? Mm-hmm. You know, my sponsor didn't have children, you know? Yeah. But, and that was, you know, kind of the thing is he could understand to a certain degree, but he couldn't really understand to a certain degree.
Yeah. You know?
So like there is only
he could probably empathize, but
yeah.
But
yeah.
You know, he could never be put in your shoes. So
exactly. So when it came to advice along those lines, sometimes you know I had to default somewhere else, and that was what I learned about that stuff. Is like not one person always has the answer. Sometimes you got to go searching for it in a whole different way, you know, mm-hmm. and again, from professionals, you know, that's another aspect that we, you know, and even professionals, it's funny, professionals never give you advice. Why is that? You know, like they, you know what I mean? I mean, I guess they kind of do sometimes, but they really, it's very safe, tried and true, you know, advice, right? You know, mm-hmm. So even my therapist is like, when he gives me something that's like very specific to do, it's like, yeah, no shit, Sherlock, you know, but if I could do that every fucking time, I would, but you know what I mean? It's like, it's basic yeah. information that's like, you know, oh yeah, tie your shoes if you're gonna put your shoe on. Oh, thanks. You know? So that kind of stuff. So then what advice have you ever taken from somebody that you did follow? You know, like within the question, it says, you know, have I followed the advice of someone that did work out? Like, so is there somebody like, whether it be, you know, your mother, your, you know, whatever, family member, friend, you know, again, counselors, those types of things, anybody's advice that you did take that did work out?
I have a few things written down, but I think one thing that was really beneficial for me was something my sponsor told me. You know, in that first year, I was dealing with a bunch of changes and feeling sort of out of control and wanting to control everything, right? I'm kind of a control freak.
No.
No. Unheard of, right? In our population?
A recovering alcoholic has a control problem. Tell me more.
But the simplest thing, you know, goes back to kind of the serenity prayer. It's focus on what you can control, you know? Anytime I'd sit down and talk to her, bitch to her, be frustrated, you know, wanting something to go my way, and it never would because there are a bunch of variables that are out of my control. And she said, if you can't control it, stop trying to, you know, focus on the things you can control, which are your actions.
First word out of my mouth would have been, but. But because I always like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, but there's more than I think that I can do. Don't you understand?
Yeah. You know? And that's another fault of mine is I always feel like there is something more that I can do to influence a situation. So that was a good piece of advice that I still struggle to practice, but it did work out when I stopped trying. For example, I would want to control how my boyfriend behaved in that I wanted him to stop drinking, right? Mm. Because it was affecting me and because I felt like it would be better for him to stop. And she was kind of like, yeah, that's not how that works. Like, like you can't stop other people from doing what they want to do. And the moment that I stopped trying and just focused on the things that I can do and like focusing on me and not drinking, then shit started to fall into place. And I was kind of leading by example, and eventually he made a decision for himself to not drink, which was great. But me trying to control him was going to do the exact opposite. Like, he was just going to, you know, be defiant and push me away and whatnot. So that worked out. One thing that someone told me, just to kind of pivot, because I have this written down, advice that didn't work out was, again, from the same dude who's like a big book thumper. He's like, taking medication is just substituting one addiction for another. And
medication.
Here I am. Yes, medication. And I was
thanks,
like,
doctor.
Yeah, exactly.
Doctor in the AA meeting.
And I never really agreed with that. In fact, I was like, I know I am fucked up mentally. Like, I need some help, especially like, you know, coming off of a sedative like alcohol that numbed me.
Depressant.
Like, yeah, exactly. Like, I'm going to be anxious as shit. Like, I'm going to have to kind of get back balanced, I guess. I don't know how to say that. You know, and medication can help me get there. And then to follow up with that, like, advice that worked out with regard to medication is medication's a tool, not a substitution for meetings and therapy. You know, that was huge for me because a pill is not going to fix everything, much like alcohol didn't fix everything. Meetings didn't fix everything. You have to really find what works for you. In my case, medication helped. So
that was, I think, the same thing for me, where it was like, again, I had to start eating right. I had to start getting plenty of sleep. You know, I had to get exercise. You know, these three things alone were, you know, I wasn't doing any of that. But a doctor is so willing to throw a pill at me, right? You know, to fix that. You know, but again, when I started doing those three things and started to address the real issues, the core issues of what was troubling me, like the emotional sobriety, when I started to address those things, that's when I really started to align better, right? I guess I have more balance, I guess. You know? Yeah. So totally. And that's the kind of stuff, you know. And I honestly, you know, I was taking a medication for nerve pain, right, when I got sober. And if I wasn't taking that medication, I found out that that's one of the medications they use for people who detox. You know, and I was like, oh, so that probably helped me detox even a little bit better, you know, just because I had it. So it probably allowed me, you know, a little bit more grace, but it was just a byproduct of being on it, you know, and at that time, being sober or getting sober. Yeah. So, yeah, very
But that's
different.
What worked yeah. for you, you know?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So, and I know that, like, the medication thing was kind of, you know, you haven't wanted medication. At least that's kind of what I've gathered, you know? Mm-hmm.
But again, sorry to interrupt. Sorry.
No, you're
totally
good.
Interrupting. I feel terrible. I've totally interrupted.
No, so, but I was like, gonna say, Carl, you go ahead with what you're going to say.
Okay. The two dudes that are the same dude, or was it one dude?
One dude.
So one dude has all this great advice. He doesn't sound like a good advice giver at all. So did you know anything about his background? Was he on medications at all? Was like, had he ever tried it? Did he ever go through those experiences? Did you know any of that stuff about him?
All I knew was that he was sober. That's it. That was it.
And he was a long timer. And he was a long timer. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's like, that's just fucking ridiculous sometimes.
I know.
Anyway, so go ahead. Say what you're going to say. Sorry.
Just, you know, like, I guess I was just going to reinforce the point that while medication was not necessarily what you felt like was right for you, I felt like was right for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Neither of those options are wrong, but you're going to have people give you advice in both directions. So, like if someone came to me and asked advice about medication, then I would say, you know, that's something for you and your doctor to sort out.
Yeah.
It helped me, but that's what worked for me. And I don't know what will work for you.
Yeah. And if somebody is trying to dictate those things to you in like that dude, the thumper,
mm-hmm.
You know, that's a real issue. You know, that's a real problem because that, again, not knowing your circumstances, not knowing really anything about you at all. And I'm sure that dude doesn't have, you know, his doctorate, you know, so,
no.
You know, yeah, so, but you know, but in the times that I sought advice, that's the other thing. I did it like, for instance, early in recovery, and this was hard for me because I was this dude that like, you know, I got sober because I could no longer really manage my money basically, or my affairs in that way. Like my freelance, my work and all this other stuff. I really felt just kind of overwhelmed by all that. And I really felt like if I got sober, I could go and start my own business again, that I could do that safely mm-hmm. without, you know, having to get shit faced. And so because that's just kind of what resulted. So here it was. I was, I remember I got offered this job, and at one point I was offered about $15,000 for this project, and it was going to take me about 2 months, and that's what I estimated for it. And I was going to have some outside costs or whatever, but still, it was $15,000, and it was pretty good money. And I didn't know what to do, basically. I called my... the sponsor, he wasn't available. My first sponsor at the time, he was just not available. And I was really seeking advice too, right? And I don't even know why I was calling him. It's not like he knew anything about my shit, like my work or whatever. But I just needed outside counsel, you know?
Yeah.
And then here's the thing. I had my wife had said something earlier in the week that I didn't really get. And she had said something like along the lines of like, and I totally ignored it, but it hit me on the way to work. That's kind of why this whole thing came up. She had said, since I got the estimate, since I started doing the estimate, I hadn't paid attention to anybody in my family. I literally disappeared and just, you know. So, and then she said this, and I just like blew it off and then whatever. And then on the way to work, that kind of replayed in my head, and I was like, "Oh shit! Like, what does she mean that like I,
like,
you know what I mean? Like,
isolated, and
I started
and
to isolate, use, yeah, and it started like almost workaholism, right? So then I couldn't get a hold of my sponsor, so I was like, you know what? I'm gonna call my wife and ask her, like, should I take this work? I know I'm feeling weird about it because of what she had said. So I'm just gonna call my wife and ask her, right? What did you mm-hmm. what did you mean by, you know? Like, you know, I've been gotten distant and isolating and this kind of stuff. She goes, well, to be honest, so I get a hold of my wife. She goes, to be honest, you do one of two things, right? You will take the work, and if it frustrates you, you'll end up drinking, right?
Mm.
So like, you know, because you'll be burning yourself out trying to get this stuff done. And then the other side of that coin is you'll get through it maybe quickly. Maybe you'll do it in like less than a month, and then you'll get super excited, and then you'll celebrate by drinking. Mm. She goes, really, at any rate, if you take this work, you'll be drinking. And she goes, is it really worth it? And I was just like, holy shit. And I was like
jaw dropping.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, fuck. She's absolutely right. Like, this is my pattern. This is my behavior. This is what I do. And it completely, like, and I was like, so what? Again, I sought advice from my wife, who, on a positive note, I did not take the job because it would have impacted my sobriety. And I had to ask myself, what is my sobriety worth? Way more than $15,000. Mm-hmm. And then it was from somebody who knew me really well, who knew my drinking patterns really well. It had been 3 months, right? And she said, why don't you wait another 3 months before you take on any more freelance? By the way, it went another year before I took on any freelance whatsoever. So I actually extended that out to all of the year because that was a huge issue for me. If I couldn't take it and manage it well and do what I was supposed to be doing, I shouldn't be taking it at all, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I had to make those decisions. But that it was somebody that I trusted, somebody that loved me, somebody that cared about me, had my best interest in mind, and I was able to see exactly the problem that she spelled out in myself. Total easy decision to make. And it worked out completely, right? Really helped me to see my real issues and my real problems. So, you know, as related to that
stuff. And that's someone who's not even like in recovery. Like that's just someone who knows you and your behavior. And that's just as valuable as like a sponsor. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, consider your source is, you know, kind of what we've been repeating this whole episode, but I think that's a great example.
So don't take fashion advice from naked men means like, you know, if they haven't done it themselves, right? If they're not experienced in the situation, right? Don't try their ideas. You're not a guinea pig for somebody else's, you know, ideas, right? And again, it's your responsibility to not get fucked in the ass by naked men.
But also, I would piggyback on that and just say, if it's someone giving advice who does not follow their own advice, that's a red flag as well.
But you got to learn how to discern that. You got to learn to question that stuff and, you know, watch that person. You know, if it's not something you need to do immediately, then, you know, pause, you know, look at that. Yeah. Get other people's opinions too. You know,
what would be like, I mean, maybe this is just beating a dead horse, but what would you tell someone who just got sober?
Chelsea, you know. I'm sorry to say, but you can't beat off a dead horse. Did you say off?
No. No, I don't
kidding.
Think so.
I'm kidding.
Jesus. Oh, that escalated quickly. But someone who's just getting sober, they're going to have, you know, those quintessential people at the meeting who freely give as much advice as they want to, whether you want it. What would you say to someone who maybe is like, I don't know who I would even pick for a sponsor. Like, I don't know what advice to follow because I'm hearing different things. You know, do you have any advice for people in that situation?
Yeah. You know, I read this book. I read two books on this subject, which is, sorry. One was from, God, who is it now? Who's the comedian again? Who also wrote the 12-step book recovery.
Russell Brand.
Russell Brand. So Russell Brand also has a book called Mentor. And so he really talks about, you know, seeking people in mentorship, right? Trying to get mentors and really asking people, again, you know, they talk about in AA, you know, look for something that somebody has that you want, right? Like, so if they have what you want, then ask them to be a sponsor. But you don't necessarily need to do that, right? You know, for instance, you know, in my case with freelance work and those types of things, like I would listen to somebody talk in a meeting and I would hear somebody who has some similar circumstances, or maybe they're successful in their business. Maybe they've been in recovery for, you know, 20 years and they they do a really good job, you know, with their own business. So I will engage with them to talk to them about how I can be better in my business. Or when it comes to children, you know, if I hear somebody talking about their children going through some similar experience or had gone through some similar experience. So that's why you get phone numbers. That's why you get a plenty of phone numbers. You know, you know, it's, so I think that's the thing, is you can look for people in specific areas. Again, the books, right? Another book I read was called Mastery by Robert Greene, and Mastery really discusses all those same things too. It's like really looking for, you know, people who are doing what you want to do, how you can see yourself in those situations, and trying to develop those relationships in order, and to be very clear about it. Hey, look, and I was, you know, my first sponsor, he was not married. He didn't have any children. And he would tell me straight out, I am not married. I don't have any children. So like, look for a dude that has, who's married, and see, you know, if he has a good relationship with his wife and that's what you want, ask him, right? Mm-hmm. Don't go asking the dude that has, you know, 6 divorces, ask him how to remain married. You know what I mean? That's just not it. You don't do that. So that was the thing for me, is like, not only am I seeking advice from people that I know personally and that I've paid attention to, but also when it comes to those books like Russell Brand, Robert Greene, and to seek those things out so that you understand, like, you know, how that stuff can work for you better. It's professional advice at that point. It's in print, right? It's something that like people have taken the time to etch out and provide. So take advantage of those things too. Don't just look in the rooms of AA, right? Because it can be very limiting, you know, to what is actually going on in the world and with you, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes you're smarter than that. I'm just saying.
Well, my advice, you know, if someone were in that situation, is what was appealing to me. That's funny. I was going to give advice. Isn't this all about like whatever?
Yeah. Hey,
it's our podcast. Damn.
You could turn it off if you want. You know what I mean? Like, you know, people don't have to listen to it. So just say,
yeah, exactly. Okay. So what worked for me was I looked for the people who were humble, you know, and weren't necessarily saying like, you know, you should do this or you should do that. It was more so like, this is what worked for me and I'm putting it out there. And it, you know, they weren't trying to preach or, you know, shove something down my throat. It was the people who were confident in, you know, this worked for me, so fuck whatever and what anyone else says. Like, you don't have to take my advice. Those were the people that really I felt were more level-headed and would be more tactful with how they helped me. Like my first sponsor, she didn't speak a lot in meetings, but when she did, I was just like captivated. Like, you know, she was just speaking from her experience only and not anything else. And, and that was what I needed to see, is like, okay, this person's focused on her and not everyone else in the room.
Yeah. So, yeah. And especially if they're speaking from the I, right? You know, not from the you. You know, when I hear you, I'm like, fuck you too, right? But when I, you know, when I hear I, it, you know, it's personal, right? And it means it's coming from a different point. And, you know, speaking from the I is the best way to be in terms of trying to relate to other people as well. So, yeah, definitely, you know, what I look for as well. All right, ex parte people, we're fucking done.
We done.
Out
this
the
bitch.
Fucking ear. So tune in next week. What is next week? What is next week?
Next week would be the 11th, right? The 11th or the 12th. One of those days.
You tell me. Look it up here for a second. So I'm going to look it up. Hold on a second. So next Sunday would be the 12th. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, look, it's going to be Valentine's weekend coming up. Ooh, are you doing anything for Valentine's? You know, ooh.
I think I have to work. I don't know.
Ooh, dude, this is going to be a fucking doozy. Ready?
Oh no.
I'm going to read this one just in case. Ready?
Okay.
Okay, it's February 12th. It says, some people walk in nature, others walk along the pews. Ooh, look at me getting all fucking literary and shit. Some people walk in nature. Others walk along the pews. Some sit for hours and others take a knee every morning. Prayer can take many forms. We all worship differently. Even people that sit side by side in a church have a different understanding of a higher power. Not a single one of us has the same relationship with the divine. The prayers prayed under covers need no kneeling. It is a song lyric from an 80s band. Do you know it? Do you know who this? Yeah, I bet you don't. No. So if you understand what it means to be scared and pray for safety, you know the lyrics. The idea here is simple. Try prayer if you are in pain and at the end of your rope, whatever form that takes for you. And after the crisis has passed, try it again. You might be surprised how this impacts your outlook. Reflections. Do you believe in God? That's a fucking big question right there, isn't it? Do you believe in a higher power? Do you act like it? Or are you still directing the universe? Come on, Chelsea.
If you don't have God, huh?
If you don't have a concept of a higher power, what can you use? Daily challenge. Define your higher power. Sit down and write a paragraph about the qualities of your higher power and keep it simple. Fuck. That could be a really good episode.
Yeah, it could. You know what's
but
funny?
We'll fuck it up. Don't worry.
Was there any swearing in that one?
Oh, I don't know. Let me look. No. Oh. I don't see any. Nope.
Well, good. God would be pleased.
Look at that. I got, you know, maybe I should just throw in a fuck word here or there. Just to. No, you know, I think it's probably one of those moments. I mean, look at the way I opened that one. Like, I love the way it opens, too. Some people, you know, walk along.
I was just, before this episode, I was just looking through my little notebook I had when I was going through the steps. And it listed the qualities of my higher power. Is that part of the steps or is that just something my sponsor did?
That can be part of the steps in terms of, because, you know, we want to define, like, especially, you know, step 2 and 3, right? We want to define, our higher power. And it's really, like, cause we name the power, right? So I say, you know, I have a new employer, I have a creator, or I have the father, or I have, like, you know, whatever. So, however we're trying to define that stuff, it's nice to know what are the qualities. You know, so, you know, for myself, it's like I have a new employer. What does that employer do? Well, the employer, he directs my, you know, thinking. He outlines my day. He ensures that I have, you know, the tools that I need in order to do my job. You know, a new employer, right? You know, so, and I like that idea of a new employer versus father, right? Because father for me is, you know, he's an asshole. He's overbearing. He fucking beats me. You know what I mean? He's a drunk. You know, why would I want a father? You know what I mean? So I think when we do that, those qualities of, like, you know, loving, caring, nurturing, and, you know, all those other types of things, it really helps us to have that inner, you know, interdirectional beacon, right? Like that's what that does. So that's, I don't know if it's part of the steps necessarily, but it does ask you in the steps to really define it. Define your higher power. So that kind of a thing. So that would be part of defining it.
Nice. So,
yeah. So Chelsea, that I think next week will be awesome. I look forward to that, especially. So that would be next Sunday, February 12th. If you're so interested and by the way, if you're interested in answering that goddamn question ahead of time so it can be in the episode, by all fucking means, go to silverpod.com. Go down to, there's a button called Leave a Voice Message. There's a title that says, Want to Leave Us a Voice Message? So it'll give you a minute to, like, you know, record. You know, after you click there and go there, it'll give you a minute to record. You hit submit and it'll be awesome, right? We'll take your response.
I would
and
love
play
it. Yeah, I really would great. Love it. Someone do it.
That would really help, so we don't have to sit here and carry this whole goddamn podcast by ourselves, people. Oh, wait, we signed up for this though, didn't we? Damn it.
Yeah, damn it.
So I'm the asshole. Yeah.
So me, I'm the asshole now.
All right. So what do you have to say to the kind X party people?
Deuces.
I'll say stay active, stay sober, and see ya.